A Murder in Time, all rights reserved. No part of this book may be reproduced by any means. Copies may be ordered by contacting the author at thor@thegalaxysentinel.com. Chapter 1, Exposed. George Bentwin, a clean-cut man in his early 40s, clad in black pants and a dark blue shirt, moved to a small town south of Knoxville, Tennessee. He drove up Route 332 and saw a three-acre farm with a white picket fence broken down for sale. He stared at the shopping plaza on the right side and the housing complex on the other two sides, took the sign and went to the realtor and said, "I want to buy the farm on Route 332. The realtor stared at George and said, "I hope you are not planning to farm it, because it would make a great place for a water park. I plan to live there and turn the barn into a museum about the town." "Yeah, right. Are you going to sell me the farm or what?" "Okay, mister, it's your money." After George bought the farm, the first thing he did was to repair the picket fence and had the house painted white. He redecorated the inside to resemble mid-1890s. He then restored the barn and had electrical equipment delivered there. In the room in the hayloft that was 10 feet by 10 feet, George constructed an arch 8 feet tall and 5 feet wide, made out of die-cast aluminum that was 8 inches thick. He put it against the firewall and wrapped it in magnetic coils with opposite polarities, and encased the coils with his own invention called the HJO capacitor, which powered the magnetic field around the time arch, interrupting the delicate balance between the past and future, allowing him to easily slip through time. George then dressed in dark gray tweed suit, silk hat, and looked at himself in the mirror and said, "Ready or not, 1890, here I come." He activated the arch, then vanished in pale blue of the arch. He found himself in May of 1890. A short, well-dressed man entered the barn with a young couple, saying, "This spread will make perfect place for your little ones." George held up a bag of gold, saying, "I'll give you half this bag of gold for the house, barn, and the field." "You have yourself a deal," stated the realtor. The young man held his wife's hand and complained, "Hey, you told me and my wife that we were to buy the farm. Now you're selling it to him?" The realtor stated, "I forgot to tell you. It goes to the highest bidder. Can you beat his bid?" The young couple hung their heads and turned to leave. George shouted, "Hey, lady, would you like to sell me your pretty parasol?" Then showed her a handful of gold nuggets. The woman looked at the fancy parasol in her hand, then at George's gold nuggets, grabbed them, gave him the parasol, and left with her husband. The realtor stared at George in wonderment and questioned, "What are you going to do with the lady's parasol?" George smiled and said, "I collect them." The realtor stared at George again and said, "Mister, you are one strange man. Enjoy your farm, and I will see you later." Back in his normal time, George sold the lady's parasol for $1,500. Later, George stood in front of the barn, slowly scanning his 15-acre farm, and wondered how he could put that land to use. When he thought, "Hit, how much damage did I do to the community by changing the timeline?" He then muttered, "That shopping mall and the housing complex shouldn't have made that much difference. And I know the town isn't as prosperous and as big as it is." Just then, a 12-year-old boy clad in jeans and a t-shirt raced in on his bicycle, gave George a flyer, and sped off. He stared at the flyer and wondered, "What do they mean, fix the dam before it's too late? I just read in the paper yesterday that the townspeople were praising Mayor Thompson for renovating the dam." George quickly drove to the dam in his SUV and was appalled at the deplorable condition. He saw a fisherman casting his line in the river and inquired, "I thought Thompson had fixed the dam. What did he do, spend the money on himself?" The man stared at George, laughed, and asked, "What have you been smoking, buddy?" "The mayor is Peter Gregory." And the man thought for a moment, then said, "Wait a minute. Bill Thompson ran for mayor in the last election, but lost. Now, if you don't mind, I have a fish to catch." George snapped, "Bill Thompson had great ideas and had the backing of a large food chain in town." The man stared at George for 3 minutes, then said, "I think you have the wrong town, mister, because there is no food store in our town because it's too small. Now get out of here before your constant chattering chases the fish away." Driving back to his farm, George muttered, "That's right. A lot of high mucky mucks that supported Bill Thompson in that election lived in the housing complex that isn't there." George stopped in Gabby's burger joint and saw a woman in her 30s with red hair and a pale blue dress enjoying her burger and fries, and asked, "Excuse me, ma'am, if you traveled into the past and wanted to marry, how would you go about doing it?" The lady smiled and replied, "I would do a study on who was killed, save him, and then make him my hubby. And no, I do not want to go out with you, sir, not because that was the worst pickup line I have ever heard, but because my friend Butch would beat the living daylights out of you." "I wasn't trying to get a date with you, ma'am. You have got some nerve telling me that I'm ugly." "You are not ugly, ma'am. Matter of fact, you're gorgeous and have a great figure." The woman picked up her purse, hit George in the face, shouting, "Pervert!" and stormed off. George glanced at the lady manager staring at him, held his face, and left. For the next 3 weeks, George searched the town records and all the newspaper clippings for a murdered woman back in the 1890s. When he was about to give up, he picked up a newspaper clipping that said, August 10th, 1890, a 31-year-old woman, Cynthia Celestina Atwater, was brutally stabbed to death while walking home from church one Sunday afternoon. Anyone knows about the killing, contact the police immediately. George showed the newspaper clipping to the police officer and asked, "Do you have any information on this woman?" The officer glanced at the clipping and commented, "Oh yeah, the Atwater case. That killer did a real number on her, and they had to have a closed casket." Where was this woman murdered? There used to be an old hauling road that ran from the old Pentecostal church to the highway, but part of it is still there. Why? Are you interested in solving the Atwater case? Yep, sure do. Good luck, buddy. Back at his barn, George dressed in his 1890 clothes, held his Winchester in his right hand, gazed at the glowing of the arch, and entered. He found the church and waited until the service was over. At 8:38 p.m., a tall, slender woman in her early 30s, clad in a blue checkered dress and a hat, left the church and headed for the hauling road that went through the woods. Halfway through the woods, a scruffy man with a beard and mustache, dressed in ragged clothes, with a crazed look in his eyes, jumped out holding a hunting knife and knocked Miss Atwater to the ground and was about to stab her when George fired a shot over her head, saying, "Leave her alone!" The man sprang to his feet and charged George. He shot the knife out of his hand, and the man knocked George down and escaped through the woods. George held Miss Atwater up and asked, "Are you all right?" "I tore my dress, but otherwise I'm okay." She stared at George for a few seconds, then fell in his arms, sobbing, saying, "That man would have killed me if you didn't happen by. Would you like to come to my place for a cup of herb tea to settle your nerves? Then I can walk you home." "Oh, okay." George placed Cynthia in his cart and brought him to his place. In George's home, Cynthia stared at his pristine surroundings and said, "You haven't tasted anything until you've tasted my fried pickles and sweet potatoes." "Fried pickles and sweet potatoes? You have got to be kidding me, lady." "Okay, I'm game." A short while later, Cynthia sat a heaping plate of fried pickles along with a pot of tea on the dining room table. Poor George and herself a cup of tea, gazed at him and said, "I want to get to know you better, but there is something about you that is off somehow, but I can't put my finger on it. It's as if you're from another timeline." George stared at her in silence, then asked, "Are you a scientist?" "I have studied the possibility of time travel, but to do that would be impossible." George grew nervous and asked, "Would you like me to show you my farm?" "And exactly what does that mean?" questioned Cynthia. "Nothing. I just want to show you where I live." "And how many other women have you showed you them where you live, or should I say your bedroom?" "Please forgive me, that's not what I meant. I thought a nice walk in the meadow would help you relax from your harrowing experience." While they were walking through the northwest pasture, Cynthia stated, "The town is planning to build a dam across the river, but the contractor they are hiring wants to cut corners, which will spell disaster for the town in the future." George picked up some wildflowers, gave them to Cynthia, and asked, "Is there any way I can alert the proper authorities and have him replaced?" Cynthia took the flowers, smiled, and said, "Yes, I will marry you." "But that's not what I was saying." Okay. When do you want to set the wedding date?" Cynthia smiled sweetly, took hold of George's left arm, pulled his sleeve up, exposing his fancy digital watch, and asked, "Don't you mean in what timeline?" I don't know what you're talking about, ma'am, but that's a new watch that they just came out with." "Sure, and it snows in the summertime. Who are you, or should I ask, when are you?" "Let me put that question aside for a moment and ask, how did you know I was going to be attacked on the hauling road? Don't tell me that you were hunting, because there are no hunting signs all along that hauling road. And your Winchester rifle is unlike that I have ever seen. How far into the future are you? 100 years, 200 years? When?" George smiled sheepishly and replied, "Let's go someplace where we can talk." George took Cynthia to the hayloft. She stared at him, slapped him in the face, and said, "I am not that kind of a woman." George walked to the wall of hay, took hold of it, and opened up a door to the timeline room. He smiled at her and said, "This way to the year 2020. Cynthia let out a sharp squeal, shouting, "I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Is there a space travel in your time? Are there funny green aliens walk around? Tell me, tell me." George closed the door to the room, took Miss Atwater's hand, and walked through the arch.